Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. In Jesus' name, dear Christian friends, the text for our meditation this morning is our epistle lesson from 1 John chapter 5. You may be seated. There's a lot of confusion in the world concerning religion. Those who worship false gods are confused, to say the least. Then there are those who claim to worship the same God we do, but who also worship a false god by denying that God as he has revealed himself to be. And then there are those who don't acknowledge the existence of any god at all. But our direction this morning really has nothing to do with that sort of confusion and unbelief. Rather, we want to look at the confusion among those who call themselves Christians. There is still a great deal of confusion among this group about what the gospel is and how we access all that it promises and conveys. What it promises, of course, is the victory of Christ over sin and death and hell. Our text calls it the victory that has overcome the world. And this victory is not abstract or philosophical or subjective, rooted in human experience or emotion. Rather, it is grounded in reality, the reality of the humanity and the death and resurrection of Jesus. The victory that has overcome the world is our faith. Our faith receives all that Christ has won for us. Our faith receives the forgiveness of sins. Our faith receives blessings and strengthening. Our faith receives eternal life. In this life and in this world, we see none of what we receive. Our flesh experiences none of it. The world would have us sin and die like the rest of humanity. Our victory over this desire to destroy is our faith, which shares in the victory of Christ over sin, death, and hell. Faith is the victory. By faith, we see the things of God and we live in the light of His promises. By faith, people turn from pursuing works and riches and fame and all sorts of other things to follow Jesus instead. By faith, we expect things we've never seen, and we struggle to be better people than we really feel that we are. Not everyone who calls themselves a Christian agrees, or even believes, for that matter. Some people who want to claim a place in the Christian church deny the Word of God altogether. They would tell us that it's a fiction or a retelling of history with a decidedly Jesus movement spin on it. Some call the Bible man's word about God or man's encounter with God. Now, most people who call themselves Christians don't consider the Bible to be false or misleading. They profess that they believe it's God's word and honest and true in every word it says. The most common problem is that they simply don't know what it says or understand what it means. And so what they do believe is often in contradiction with the Bible. For such people, the victory of the Christian faith is conceived of as managing to stop doing something that they really like to do, or something really awful that they can't seem to control their desire to do. The less ambitious set their sights on making a decision and praying a prayer. Still another group considers the victory to be remembering the day that they had a particularly powerful religious feeling so that they can be certain that they have what it takes, or at least had it at one time. Our victory, though, that is to say, the victory that overcomes the world, is faith. And by that I mean faith in what God has revealed. Those who try to find the victory elsewhere are calling God a liar, because his word speaks clearly and teaches the gospel clearly. John writes that those who don't believe what God has taught about Christ are guilty of making God a liar, because they do not believe the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. Remember that the next time someone tries to tell you that sound doctrine is not important, or that feeling good about one another is more important than agreeing on what the Word of God teaches. John also mentions the three witnesses: the water, the blood, and the Spirit. John is saying here that Jesus came as the Son of God, the Christ, not just by means of a baptism, and not just to teach, but also to suffer and die. The water is not the only witness, nor the cause of salvation, but the blood shed on the cross is the very blood of the only begotten Son of the Father. Jesus was the Christ already at his baptism, and he was the Christ still at his death. And the witness of the Spirit is added, the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Spirit who bears witness to Christ, and his witness is true, because the Spirit is truth. John here answers all of those who would cast doubt on the incarnation of Jesus, a historical fact grounded in reality, as the creeds of the church so readily declare. John also uses this wonderful truth to contrast those who believe and those who do not. He says, the one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. What a contrast. The one who believes has God dwelling within him and blessing him. And the one who doesn't believe is guilty of calling God a liar publicly. He doesn't even need to say anything. His unbelief itself asserts that God is dishonest and lying simply by not believing what God has said. He's guilty because he has not believed the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. And the witness of God is what he has revealed in Scripture. So false teaching is more than just a silly error. It is sin. It is blasphemy. It is calling God a liar. And it is what the world does. The world proclaims that God is not truthful and that we cannot trust what he says. That's the original deceit of Satan in the Garden of Eden. Has God really said, no, you shall surely not die? And by repeating that lie to us time and time again, the world around us shows its slavery to the father of lies. And our victory over the world and over that father of lies is that we believe what God reveals, particularly his Son and his death for us, God's love and the redemption he worked for us through Jesus' crucifixion and death. And so our faith is the victory, just as John teaches. We believe, and we have God dwelling within us, and we have the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting and salvation by grace received through faith. The faith that is the victory that overcomes the world. So don't look anywhere else. Don't worry about trying to achieve it. Don't be concerned if you don't feel it at this moment or that. Don't follow the fads of religion that go in and out of fashion. Your victory is not out there. It is right here, grounded in the reality of the human and divine Christ, Jesus, who suffered and died for you. For who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.